Now, how many people slept well last night? You had your full sleep. I didn't have my full sleep. They took 1 hour away from my sleep. I was 6 a.m. and I was on the bed and my wife was telling me it's time. I'm like, it's 6 a.m. She said it's 7 a.m. I said it's 6 a.m. because I had my wristwatch on. I usually sleep with my wristwatch. I said it's 6 a.m. She said it's 7 a.m. I said, oh, it's 6 a.m. And my wristwatch said, no, we've gone 1 hour. I'm like, oh no, 1 hour of my sleep. I wanted to sleep some more. So I had a big struggle getting up from the bed this morning. But it's all good. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I honestly was under a lot of, quite a lot of pressure when thinking about this preach. And not because I haven't preached before, but because it's the first time I'd be preaching in the UK. And so I felt the pressure. I felt like, oh, this is a different culture, Lord. And I'm the kind of person who likes to play, you know, soft. I don't want to hit people. I don't want to shake the tables, you know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, Lord, how do I do this? I didn't have a problem with the preach, really. But I had a problem with the context, you know? And I shouldn't feel that way, honestly, because I've preached several times on the streets of UK. I've talked to people about Jesus, young people, old people, elderly people, adults, you know, not old people, adults. because I haven't preached an old person yet, yeah. But I preach to all kinds of people, and I'm like, why am I feeling this way? But anyway, I'm better now. I'm here now, and in the next 20 minutes thereabouts, I'll be done. Let me back to my seat. But yeah, there's been a lot of encouragement from people and prayers, and I'm just excited. So one way to help me, how many people want to help me this morning? Just want to help me? Thank you very much. I love people here. They love me so much. One way you can help me is when I say, glory. Just give a response, glory.
Glory.
If I say, amen, just shout, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's my African style. Just bear with me. So I think if I do it the African way, we'll be fine. So if I give a call, just give a response. You know what I mean? Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's it. John 3:16. Yeah. Okay. So today we're looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he means for us. What he means for us today. There are two very important claims that Christianity makes that are mind-blowing. No other religion on the earth makes those claims. Now, I do not believe that Christianity is just a religion. It is a religion, yeah, because we've got things, characteristics and features of a religion, all right? After all, we're here worshiping someone we're not seeing. That's what religions do, right? But I believe that Christianity is more than a religion. And there's two claims that Christianity makes that no other religion makes. First, we claim that God lives inside us. The God of heaven and earth, who made the whole world, Almighty God, the Holy God, righteous God, all-powerful God, lives inside us. How on earth is that possible? It has to be a miracle. Amen. That's what we claim. Amen. Thank you. That's it. That's it. That's what keeps me going. Glory to God. That turns me on. Amen. 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 Yeah. So we claim something that's unbelievable. God. I thought God was far away. I thought God was in heaven. I thought God was, you know, distant and separate from us. And we say God lives in me. We say God lives in me by his spirit. How is that possible? Well, because you are a spirit, you've got a soul, and you live in a body. So you're a triune being. And so God can indwell your spirit. That's what we claim in Christianity. It's one of the biggest claims in the world. And if it is true, the world should pay attention to it. Because we're saying God has chosen a house. And what that means is that the Christian is a moving temple. This place, this house here, Westside Church, is dedicated for worship and for prayer. But in reality, God doesn't live here. The reason why this place is important is because people in whom God lives come here to praise God and worship him and spend time together and listen to his word. And so you are the temple. I am the temple. Anytime a person receives Jesus into their heart, God comes to live inside them. It is the most amazing thing on the earth. Number two claim that Christianity makes is that the God who is so far and distant and holy and righteous, and we are so sinful and messed up and wretched and in despair, that God has come to us and loved us. Other religions are trying to reach out to God, but in Christianity, God has tried to reach out to man. It's different. There is an internal recognition system in every man that knows that God is real. The worst atheist knows that God is real. Yeah. People just grow up to harden up their hearts, and probably because of pain and trauma and all kinds of things that have happened to them, and they just come up with ideas and say, oh, there can't be God. Why would there be God? And why would there be all sorts of violence? Well, that doesn't change the fact that God is real. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Doesn't change the fact. Doesn't change the fact that God is real. So what God did in Christ, in Christianity, was that he came into the mess. He came into the trauma. He came into the midst of the violence. He came into the midst of the struggle. And he felt what we feel. He became a man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God came into the mess. God didn't sit back and say, oh, wretched human beings, they're trying to reach me. That's what every religion is trying to do. We're trying to come up with different ideas about God. And God says, don't worry, I'm coming. You're going to see me now. That's what Jesus is. God as a man. Come to feel what we feel. Come to bear pain. They beat him. They murdered him. Because even Pilate, the judge at that time, said, I find no fault in him. But they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But it was because he had to pay the price for our sins. So he was crucified, he was murdered. Amen. Amen. So God so loved the world. God came to the world. God loved the world. He reached out. He didn't wait for us to reach out to him. He reached out to us. While we were yet sinners, I don't have that on the slide, so I'll just quote it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God reached out to us. He loved us. He gave himself. Whenever you see only begotten son, it's another way of saying God became a man, basically. You know what I mean? So God so loved the world that he became a man, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When God came, he didn't come to give us rules and regulations. Thank God for rules and regulations. They're important. We need them, right? But that's not what he came to do. Really, that's not the main thing he came to do. He came to give us life. My children today are my sons because I gave them life. I'm not their creator, yes? Yes, but I gave them life. They've got my DNA in them. They've got my nature in them. And you look at one of my boys, he looks like my carbon copy. The two of them. I brought them forth. I put life into them. God used me to put life into them. That's what Jesus came to do. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is the very life of God. What makes God God? His nature, his DNA, his life, his person, his being, his glory. His love, who he is. That this is the greatest craving of humankind, mankind. This is the greatest craving. We are craving for something, but trying to fill that void with everything, every other thing apart from God. People try to use, I love sports. I follow Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest fans in the house? Random. Chelsea fans? West Ham fans? Chelsea, I support Nottingham Forest. I love football. I play football. There's Westside FC. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, we've got goalkeeper in the house. Yeah. Thank you for coming, Seb. Yeah, thanks for coming. So, yeah, I love football. I love fun. I love sports. But people are trying to use all these other things that are ephemeral, temporal, to fill an eternal void. There's something, there's a longing in every human. There's something in us that's craving for the Father's love. Have you seen your child? I had to carry my boy there. He was making trouble, but I knew one way to just solve this problem is pick this boy up and let him know I love him. That's what every human being is craving for, God's love. We're looking for it. We're trying to fill it with all kinds of things. And because people have been bad to us, then we say, oh, God doesn't exist. God is not love. God is this. But Father is saying, I came. I came as a man to give you my life. Amen. 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 I was preaching to, we went for healing. We had healing on the street a few weeks back. And I met this sweet couple. They were looking at the banner, and I just felt drawn towards them. And they felt drawn towards me too. And I walked up to them and said, yeah, we're doing healing on the street here, free healing. Jesus has given us healing freely, and he wants us to give other people freely. It's free. You know, we just started talking, and we were supposed to pray for healing, but we then moved on into salvation, eternal life. And I started telling them, the best gift in the world is eternal life. Every other gift is going to fade away. Every other gift is going to run out. Every other gift is going to end. But there's one gift that never ends. It's called eternal life. And God wants you to have it. The guy said, you know, they looked at me, they looked at me. And I just loved them. Sweet couple. They looked at me, the guy said, well, yeah. The lady was almost accepting to receive eternal life. But then the guy said, well, I don't believe in God the way you talk. I don't believe in God, you know. I believe in a higher self. I believe in the universe. And I loved him. I had compassion on him. And I said, yeah, it's fine. You can believe whatever you want. You have a right to. But I'll tell you what. That thing you're calling higher self, universe, I present him to you today. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the real deal. That's what you're looking for. God has placed an internal recognition system in every man. It's called the conscience. It's called consciousness. We know, we yearn, we crave for that which is higher than us, the supernatural. And that is God. That's why people go into the occult. That's why people go into witchcraft. That's why people go into all kinds of things. They're looking for something more than them. They're trying to fill a void that only God can fill. Only God. Only his love, only his grace, only his presence can fill. That's what they're looking for. And they're running around and people are looking for, confused. Confused. The mental health problem has gotten worse. People are moving far from God. And the further you move from your source, from eternal life, from that which is going to give you life, the further you move into, the closer you get to destruction. That's what's happening to people. And I look at them and I say, this is the solution. It's eternal life. It's free. It's going to be forever. It's not going to run out. It's been paid for. It's free. If I gave you my phone today and I said, I paid for this phone. It's free. It's for you. It's a gift. Do you have to pay for it again? No. Just take it. But I can't force it on you. I can't. God can't force eternal life on anybody. But it's free. It's the life of God. The pulsating life of God in the human body. You become a carrier of God. You have a sense, you walk with a spring in your steps and a smile on your face. You have God on your inside. That which the earth is looking for, the whole world is looking for, dwells in your spirit. When you become a child of God, it's the biggest thing on the earth and in heaven. It's the biggest deal. I won't trade it for anything. I won't. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Woo. I haven't got time, so I need to move. I need to. I'll just read this one. Look at this. Look at this. Let's look at this together. What did he say? And this is the testimony that God has given us what? Come on, everybody say it again. And this life is in who?
His Son.
He who has the Son has life. Who has the Son here today? He who has the Son, I've got Jesus. I've got life. It's a life. There are different types of life. There's human life. It depends on your blood. There's animal life. There's plant life. There's eternal life. It's the God kind of life. Brings you into the family of God. Brings you on the level of God. I'm not saying you become God, but it brings you into the level of God. It brings you into the Kedar of God. You can operate at the level of God. You can talk like Jesus when he was on the earth. He said, the Father is in me. The words that I speak are not my own. The Father in me. He was confident. When I go on the streets, I go like that. I go with a sense of the Father is in me. What Jesus could say of himself, I can say of myself. I've got the same life Jesus had. Same life. He who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. These things I have written to you who believe. Who believes here? Can you say glory?
Glory.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. This is I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life? Do you carry yourself like you've got eternal life? Do you think like you've got eternal life? There's a mindset that comes with eternal life. There's a way of thinking. It's a way of love. You look at situations and you laugh. You may weep for a while, but then you get up again with joy. You've got joy on your inside. You've got the nature of God on your inside. You've got the Holy Spirit on your inside. You're not alone in any battle. No matter what comes against you, you're not alone. This is what Christianity is about. This is the summary. John 3:16. God gave the world eternal life. Simple. He didn't give the world a religion. He didn't give the world some set of rules and regulations. Of course, that came in a way, but that's not the main thing. For us, the life. Because what God wanted was he wanted to see himself in us.
Thanks, brother.
God wanted to, he wanted us to feel what he feels. He came down to our level so we could come up to his level. Took away our sins. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Took away the sins, then gave us his life. And if I want, I can't expect a dog to behave like a human. It's got another kind of life. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what God did was he took our sins away and gave us his kind of life so we can behave like him. So I'm not trying to be, I am. I'm not trying to earn God's favor, I've got God's favor. I'm not trying to do so many things so God can think, oh, this is a good lad. Come on, he's made me good in Jesus. He's made me his son. He's made me a son. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But as many as received him, to them he gave what? The right. My children have got the right to call themselves my children because they've got my life. I gave birth to them. God, as many, it's simple, as many as, this is so easy, so simple. It's such a shame that people are still going to perish without having this. It's free. Free. As many as received them, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. The same life that God has now begins to flow in your spirit. You can think like God. You can act like God. You can love like God. You can overcome sin like God. You're not struggling anymore in your own power. You begin to depend on the life on your inside. The new nature on your inside. God doesn't want you to try on your own. He wants to do it through you. Did somebody get that? I'll say it again. God doesn't want you to try on your own. Try with just your intellect. No, he wants you to do it. He wants to do it through you. We need to move. Praise God. Amen. I'll just read this one very quickly. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So when we say the Father has life, that same life is the life in the Son. And he who has the Son has what? That same life, eternal life. It's the God kind of life, the new nature. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But how was this possible? How did God do this? I don't have this on the slides, so I'll just read. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there quickly. How did God achieve this? How? That's where we come to Easter. That's where we come to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. How did God achieve this? How did God just say, abracadabra, eternal life, go to them. No, we didn't do that, all right? John 12, very quickly, 24. I missed that on the slide, so I'll just read from here. But if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. I'll read from 23 very quickly. How did God get eternal life into us? How did God get eternal life available for people? Because eternal life wasn't available in the Old Testament. They were managed species. The Bible says that the sins were covered, not taken away. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away their sins. So they were still in sin. The sins were not away. But in the New Testament, God has paid for sins. And how did he do it? See what he says in John 12. Jesus said from verse 23. Oh, sorry. Look at the screen. John 12 from verse 23. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." Pay attention to 24. "I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat," that's a seed of wheat, "a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone." So this was God's big dream, God's big idea. I want to have many sons and daughters. I want to have people on the earth, a new race, a new creation. People who carry my life, people who can represent me, people who know me, people who have felt my love, received my love, and can transmit my love to a dying world. I want to have billions of them across the earth. Then he comes and plants his son in the earth. Jesus comes. They murder him. He dies. But when the seed dies, he doesn't really die. What happens is that he breaks the outer shell, right? And what comes out of it? Life. So the death and the resurrection of Jesus, it wasn't just an historical event. It happened. But it wasn't just that. What happened in reality was that life came out of that. He made eternal life available through that. So that when people believe in him, they will not perish. People are perishing now. And they will perish in the afterworld. The end of the age. Because they refuse this thing. Very simple. They will not perish but have eternal life. God gave that life to us. Amen. 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 Ah. I'm going to have to stop in a very short time now. But did you get something today? Did you get something today? So that's what the gospel is. The death and the resurrection of Jesus. Powerful. Powerful. He died, came into... If Jesus died and didn't rise up from the dead, we would have still remained in our sins. Because what Jesus did in his death was he came into our mess. And in his resurrection, he took us out of the mess. That's what happened. Came into the mess, stayed there for 3 days, conquered sin, conquered Satan, conquered demons, conquered the forces of darkness that are arrayed against you, and then he came out victorious. Came out victorious. Conquered. Came out victorious for you and me. Amen. That is that. I'm going to have to stop now. What should we do with this? What should we do with this now? Now that we've got this resurrection life, use it. Act like it's real. Let it loose. Turn it loose. Get on the streets. Get into your offices. Get into the parks. Turn eternal life loose. Turn it loose. Somebody say, turn it loose. Turn it loose. I told some young people, some young lads, I was preaching. You know, I go out with Pastor Steve. We go out from time to time for outreach. And I'm out there on the road in the cold. Sometimes I remember one time I was really freezing. What are we looking for in the cold? I want to give people eternal life. The message of eternal life, the gospel that Jesus died, rose again to give you eternal life. It's free. Come, receive it. And I told some young lads, I think, do you think I'll be standing here? I'm standing here like a jobless man, like I've got no job. If this stuff wasn't real, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in my house. Because you speak to 10 people and 7 people say, no, we don't want to talk to you. And they go their way, they reject what you have to say. They don't even listen. And you think I'll keep having rejections upon rejections and keep standing half the hair in the cold if it wasn't real? I'll waste my time. If Jesus didn't rise from me, let's go home then. Let's all go home. This is just a social club then. Are you listening to what I'm saying? What differentiates Christians, the church, from others It's not because we were superior to them. No, that's not it. We've received eternal life. If we haven't received eternal life, then we are wasting our time. Let's just go home and sin and just have fun. If this stuff isn't real, if it is real, then let's get down to business. Amen. 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 Life is fading, guys. Life is fading. Just look at everything around you and you can see the life is fading. I told them, look at the old people. Can you see the old people? They're fading. They're all fading. No, I don't mean you. That's what I meant. No, no. That's not what I meant. I meant I was pointing. People are fading away. Praise God. I didn't mean you, sir. People are fading. It's real. The only thing that will last forever is eternal life. When you fade away, you have a hope that one day your body will be resurrected, like Jesus' body was resurrected, and that you will carry the glory of God in your immortal body, just like Jesus has. You have a hope. You're not like every other person. Amen. Amen. Proofs that, did Jesus rise from the dead? Yes, he did. The tomb was empty. It's an historical fact. They said they stole his body. Well, if the government stole his body, when the disciples claimed that Jesus rose from the dead, they would have brought out his body. Isn't that so? And say, well, we stole his body. But why would they steal his body when they put soldiers there to guard the tomb? He did rise from the dead. He did rise. Two, he ate and drank with his disciples. He ate meat. Thank you very much, AB. He ate and drank with his disciples. Transformed lives. Transformed lives is another proof that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Somebody say, Jesus is alive. Jesus. Christians, friends, you and I are proof that Jesus is alive. I spoke to a young lad I was walking down from office from here and going home, and I looked back and saw the young lad and I felt compassion. I felt my heart drawn towards him. I usually listen to that attention, pay attention to that. When I feel the Lord is drawing my heart towards someone. So I walked up to him. He could have said, no, I don't want to listen to you. I walked up to him and said, do you have a relationship with God? Smiled. He looked at me like, then he also smiled. Like, who's this guy? Then I told him about God and that. Then he said, how do we know that God is real? How do we know? There's no evidence. That's what he said. Well, I'm the evidence. I'm the evidence that God is real. Have you seen Wi-Fi before? Yeah. You've seen Wi-Fi with your two eyes. But is Wi-Fi real? Is Wi-Fi real? Can you connect to Wi-Fi? When you have the password, you connect, right? The same thing with eternal life. It's real, amen. We can't see it, but it's real. And the password is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. The church is the proof of the resurrection of Jesus. We are the embodiment. We are the body of Christ. It means that Jesus is still alive today, and he needs you and I to go out there and prove that he's alive. I worked in McDonald's for a while up in Darlington, and One of my colleagues came up. She's elderly. She was elderly. And then she couldn't speak well. Struggling with her speech. I felt compassion for her. She came in and she was in tears. Then she struggled and put a piece of paper and wrote down, I can't speak. I don't know what happened. I woke up this morning. And I was in customer service. So I was out there on the dining area, if you're used to McDonald's. So I knew she couldn't walk that way. She said, David, just do the other part. And she was higher than me in ranking. She said, do the other part. I felt compassion for her. I said, Lord, I've got what this woman needs. The power of God. I can pray for her. But I was in McDonald's. Everywhere was, how do I pray? If I go outside, there's CCTV outside. Inside, there's CCTV inside. I'm not on my break. So how do I do this? So I said, I started praying in tongues. Holy Ghost, how am I going to do this? This woman can speak. She can speak. I've got the power. I've got eternal life, the power of God. And then I went up to her. I said, can I pray for you? I wrote to her, can I pray? She said, yes. So I took her to somewhere beside the bin. People will know what we're doing. My eyes were open, like I was talking to her, but I was talking to God and talking to the dumbness, the speech problem. And I said, I command this in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your tongue be loosed. But I was talking to her. People would think I was just talking, but I was releasing eternal life, the power of God. In 2 hours' time, she was speaking. 2 hours' time. Because it's real. It is real. Amen. Are you blessed today? Are you blessed today? I'm going to stop here now. It's a good time to receive eternal life. There's so much to say. We could spend the whole day talking about this life, the God kind of life, a new order, a new race, a new species of people, loved of God, born of God, carrying the life of God, loving other people like Jesus loves them, changing their world. If you're here, can you please stand on your feet if you don't mind? Thank you.